So I want to start out just kind of making you really depressed. This is a messy world, isn't it? I mean, there's no doubt about it. We can't look at our lives, we can't look at this world and say that everything is just wonderful. I mean, you look at the world, we see natural disasters. We see tsunamis wiping out entire places. We see hurricanes coming. We see floods coming. We see fires wreaking havoc. We see tornadoes. We see world hunger around the world. We look around and we see that this world is a mess. Not to mention the own evil that comes from among humanity ourselves, the hatred that we have for other human beings. We can look right around this country and we see it. We look around the world and we see a hatred for other people that are made in the image of God, that we think for some reason that we are better than them. We see the violence happening all around the world. We see violence in this country. We see people taking other people's lives as if they are God, that it's their role to decide when somebody goes. We think of our own lives. We see the temptations that we face in our own life, temptations that come in and tempt us to make decisions, decisions that are going to harm ourselves, decisions that are going to harm our families, and decisions that are going to harm our friends. And yet we're tempted, and so many times we fall into those things and we have to deal with the consequences of that sinfulness. If we're married, we have an enemy who likes to destroy marriages. Marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ and the church. And if the enemy can break up families, if he can destroy families, he takes away the witness of Christ in the church that's supposed to come through the Christian family. And so we know that our marriages are being attacked. If we have children that are growing up in this world, we know that there's an evil one that wants to tempt them to turn away from the living God and to live completely for themselves. Tempt them to make decisions, even in middle school and high school, that will negatively impact the rest of their lives as human beings. And then we think about our bodies. These fallen bodies that we've been born into, you know, for a little while it's all going good, and then you hit a certain age, not too old, and things all start to go downhill. We are stuck in broken, failing bodies while we are in this world. Not only that, but you have friends, you have relatives, loved ones who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. People who you love dearly, and you know the consequences. You know that if they don't repent and turn to Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, that they're going to pay eternally under the wrath of God. And so the burden that we live with, seeing those people and sometimes seeing them even pass on, and we know what is coming for them. This is the world that we live in. Now that was depressing. It's a hard world. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. But in the midst of all that, there's a God, one God, a living God, a true God, a powerful God who's ruling over all of creation, who is in all authority and power over all things. And that God loves you. And that God says to you, I invite you to come to me with your requests, that you come to me with your burdens in prayer, asking me to be at work in the messy world that you live in and be at work in your own messy life. And so we have the opportunity and the privilege. I mean, get this. Human beings created by God, we continually don't obey God. We continually reject what He asks us to do. And yet He says, I love you and I want you to come to me, that you can speak, human beings that I made, you can speak to the God of the universe anytime you want, as much as you want. And His desire is that He'd work through our prayers in a powerful way, showing who He is and showing His love for us. And so we have this opportunity, we have this privilege to go to God and to ask Him for help, to lay our burdens out. But the question is, will we pray? He's invited us. Will we do it? Will we do it regularly? Will we do it often? Will we do it with all of our hearts? And then when we do, will we pray about the most important things? Talked about this a couple years ago, but one pastor explains it as like a wartime walkie-talkie. I mean, we are in the midst of a battle. There is a mess going on. There's attacks coming from every side, and we have a hotline. We have the walkie-talkie to the God that can take every care of everything. And so will we pick it up and will we use it appropriately to see Him work in the battle and to see Him work in the war that we're in? James 4, verses 2 and 3, James says this: "You do not have because you do not ask. You don't have because you don't ask, and you ask, when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." When you ask, it's just all about you. It's all about my life and how I can be happy and what I can get, says James. And so you don't get. God wants to work through our prayers. He wants to demonstrate His power and His love, but often we don't go to Him. We don't ask Him. We try and figure it out ourselves, or we try and ask other people, "What do you think I should do?" Rather than asking God, who made the whole world and knows how everything works. And then the other question is are we focused on our temporary little kingdom on this world? And so all of our prayers are about my world, my little world. Guess what? My world isn't going to last very long. So why build up my world? Why not build up God's world and God's kingdom that lasts forever and ever? And so as we think about prayer this morning, last week we talked about the Word of God, the importance of the Word, that God speaks to us through the Scriptures, that we can trust the Scriptures, and that He guides us in life and godliness. And so today, I want us to think about this idea of prayer. And so let's take a minute and pray to the Lord. God, what an amazing privilege that we have to come to You. And that You listen to us, that You're concerned and You care about what's taking place in Your world and in our lives. And so, God, I pray that today, as we are starting this new year, that You would help us to be a prayerful people. Help us to love prayer. Help us to see how much happens through prayer. Help us to see that You are the first person we should go to. And so, God, I pray that You would encourage us in this, and that through this message today and through Your Word, that You would shape our lives, that we would be a committed, praying people for Your name and for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first encouragement today is that we would be a people of prayer. Not just a people that pray for maybe a meal, not just a people that pray when we're in a Sunday school class, but a people that would pray regularly, that it would be a major part of our lives, that we would love it, that we would obey the command that we have in Scripture to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That prayer, talking to God, would be woven into the very fabric of our lives. That it would just be part of what we do. It would be part of the relationship that we have with God. You know, we don't set aside certain times to talk to our spouse or our best friend or our children. It's part of our regular everyday lives. It's just what we do. We communicate with people that we love. And so it should be with prayer that it's just built into everything. And when we live in such a difficult world, when we look at what's happening around us and we look at our own lives, why would we not take advantage of the wonderful blessing that we have to go into the presence of God? We have no right to go to God on our own. But in His amazing grace, He says, "I invite you. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, you can come to Me, and you can come to Me with your request, and I will work through those things." And so why would we not do it? Why do we not pray all the time? Why are we not on our knees for hours a day? I have a feeling that we don't quite understand the power that we have in prayer and the way that God works through our prayers. And you know what? God is always available to listen. I was telling my children the other day, maybe this was just a cop-out, but I said, hey, kids, mommy and daddy can't always listen to you all at the same time. I know you all come up at the same time, and you all want to talk at the same time, and we would love to listen to you. It's not that we don't want to listen to you. It's just that we are not capable because we are human beings. And so we can only listen to you one at a time. So that means you're going to have to wait because they started first, and you're going to have to wait because they were second, and you're going to have to wait because they were third, and so on. But I said, here's something amazing. Mom and Dad aren't that great, but God, He's perfect. And so He can listen to you all talk at the same time, anytime you want. And so talk to God more than us. I don't know if I really said that part. But really, I mean, God's always there. His ear is always attentive. He's always listening. I mean, if the whole world was lifting up prayers all at once, God, because He's God, can comprehend all of those things at the same exact time, and He never gets frustrated. And so why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray all the time? Besides the fact that the Scripture tells us, and we've seen in our own lives, it's proven that God does actually work through prayer, that prayer changes things in God's economy. God didn't have to make it that way, but He did. He gave us that ability to be part of changing things in the world. That's incredible. And so let's become people who pray regularly and often. Let's pray alone. Let's take that time in our lives and say, I'm going to set this time aside. Or while I'm driving down the road, instead of listening to the radio, I'm going to pray. Let's pray alone. Let's pray with other Christians. When somebody says, hey, this is going on in my life, instead of us saying, I'll pray about that later. What if we just said, and I wish I would do this, what if we just said, hey, let's just stop and pray about this right now. Let's pray about it. What if during the week when something's going wrong, we just call up another brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, I just want you to pray with me about this. What if we would pray just on a regular basis as believers in Christ, alone with each other and even with our families? That it would be a major part of our lives. That it would happen at planned times and that it would happen spontaneously throughout the day. And so will we pray? As we're kind of at the beginning of this year, will you pray? Will you pray more? Will you pray fervently? But let's not just stop there. Let's pray well. Let's pray well. Did you know you could pray not so well and then you can pray well? I mean, there's good prayers and there's bad prayers. And so we want to pray good prayers. And so I want to help you pray good prayers this year. And so first of all, we're going to pray good prayers. Let me just share with you, I think, some of the struggles that we face that make prayers maybe not so good. And so one of the things that we face that makes prayers not so good is the wandering mind. The wandering mind. And so we're committed. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to spend time in prayer. And some of this could be due to our short attention spans because of all our media and all that. I'm sure that makes it harder, but I think everybody's always had this problem. And so we're going to pray. And I have a list in my head, and I'm going to pray for this, and then I'm going to pray for this, and then I'm going to pray for this. And I get to the first thing, and I'm praying for so-and-so, and the next thing I know, I'm talking to so-and-so in my mind, and instead of praying for them, now I'm telling them what I'd like to say to them, and then they're even responding of what I think that they might say, and then I'm responding about, well, what I'll say in that case if they say that, and then I'm going to say this to you. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I was supposed to go through this whole list of different things to pray for, and I go, wait a minute. I got stuck on the first thing, and I went down this rabbit trail that wasn't even prayer. It was just my own mind doing whatever crazy minds do. And so we get distracted. We get off track, and we end up just thinking stuff that's nonsense, that doesn't even make any sense. And it wasn't our intent. Our intent was good. We wanted to pray. We wanted to pray well, but we got off track. And so we have these wandering minds. Another one that we struggle with is repetitious. Does anybody struggle with repetition in their prayers? Just trying to know how do I change this up? How do I say something different? Maybe we're just not really that creative, and so we end up saying the same thing. And maybe sometimes it's even just what we learned as kids. I mean, I pray that God is good, God is great, and we thank Him for the food. Every single night, for I don't know how many years, we prayed that in our family. Even our children now, they've gotten to a routine that they say a couple things, and I have to intentionally tell them. I say, don't pray about that tonight for dinner when you're praying. Pray about something else or add something to it, because just as human beings, we can't think of other things. We don't know what to say. And so we just kind of say the same thing over and over again. And then when we look at our prayer life, if we were to look at the time frame and give yourselves a pie chart and say, well, how much do I pray for others that are in need of salvation? What percentage of our prayer, of our pie chart does that take up? You know, how much do I pray for, I don't know, the missionaries around the world? How much do I pray for salvation of those in my city? And how much do I pray for me? You know, so look at our pie chart, and sometimes what we'll notice is what happens, maybe unintentionally, is we're really pretty much self-focused in our prayers. It's kind of about me and my world and my kingdom rather than God's kingdom and what He wants to do among the earth, that He's drawing people to Himself for eternity. And sometimes we get really caught up a big portion of that pie chart on what's temporary. And it doesn't mean we don't pray for those things. But remember, what's temporary is temporary. And in the long run of eternity, what's temporary doesn't really matter as much. So yes, pray for those things, but let's think about how we're spending our time. And so what happens then, I hate to say this, but sometimes what happens in the Christian life is that prayer kind of becomes a little bit boring. Because we want to pray. We want to pray well. But we pray and we get distracted and we just kind of say the same things again. And so then we get frustrated and we feel like, I'm not a very good prayer. I'm just not very good at this. And so how can we do better? What should we do? And so first of all, let's look at the content of our prayers. And are our prayers well-rounded? Probably a lot of you heard this, but I think that the acrostic acts that has been taught a lot is helpful. And so, first of all, we can look at our content. So if I spent 5 minutes in prayer, what did I pray for? And so we can use this acrostic ACTS. And so the A is for adoration, right? So when you look at Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer as a model, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, set apart be your name. And so the Lord's Prayer starts out with adoration, starts out praising God for who He is. And so what a great way to intentionally start our prayers by thinking about some things about how amazing God is and praising God for who He is. And so that might take a little thought beforehand that I'm going to have to think about this. I may even need to look it up, Google it, you know, what are the characteristics of God? And see how amazing God is and some of his traits. And so then we can pray these things and we can adore Him. And then second is confession. Confessing our sins before God. Confession as a Christian isn't something we just do one time and then we're done confessing. Okay, I repent of my sins, I confess. I don't ever have to do that again. I'm all set. Confession is something we don't need to do on a regular basis. We need to look at our lives and we need to see the sinfulness. Our hearts are sometimes blinded to the sinfulness in our lives. We don't even recognize it. And so asking God to show us those things, show us where we've wronged other people, show us where we disobeyed His word, show us where we did not obey what He commanded us to do. And then confess those things to the Lord and ask Him for help. And so you have the confession. And then you have thanksgiving. Thanking God. We say we're thankful, but do we really think about on a regular basis how much God has given us and blessed us? Or do we take it for granted? I mean, think about how people around the world are living and how we're living. Are we regularly thanking God so much for those things? Are we thanking Him for our salvation on a daily basis? That He saved us for eternity, that He brought us from death to life. And so thanksgiving, and then supplication. This is praying for yourself and others, really. Supplication. And so you start all these other things, and then at the end, When you've done these things, when you've confessed your sin, and when you've said how great God is and thanked Him, then you say, okay, God, and I do have a few things that I'd like to ask You. Burdens that are in my heart, things I want to see You work in, things I want to see changed by Your power. And so we take that time and we pray for others and pray for ourselves and pray for our families through that time of supplication. I think we can also gain insight from this passage where Jesus is speaking in John 15, verses 7 and 8. Jesus says this, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." That's an amazing promise. How do we wrap our minds around that? "By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples." Okay, so if, this is an if-then statement, if you, first of all, abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ is remaining in Christ, that we're living according to the Spirit of Christ. We love Christ. We're abiding in that relationship. We're living our lives for Him on a daily basis. And Jesus' words abide in Me. What is Jesus' words? Well, Jesus spoke words. We have those, but we also have the Word of God, right? The Scriptures. We talked about that last week. And so Jesus' words abide in Me. And so I'm continually in the Scriptures. I know the Scriptures. I love the Scriptures. If that's the case, then we can ask whatever we want, and it says that we will see answered prayer. Why does God answer the prayer? It says, "By this My Father is glorified." He's glorified when He answers the prayer, "that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples." The assumption here is that if you abide in Christ and Christ's word abides in you, that your prayers are going to be prayers so that the kingdom of God will be built, that you will bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. And so, yes, we abide in Christ and Christ's words abide in us, and that changes radically our prayer life because we're not praying about our kingdom. We're praying that we would bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And God says, yes, I'm going to answer that prayer because I want you to bear fruit for My kingdom because I am glorified in doing so. And so I will answer those prayers. Here's an example of this. Colossians 4, 2 through 3. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison." Notice, where is Paul? He's in prison. You think prison's a great, happy place to be? You think it's the place he chose to be, that he just, hey, I want to go to prison? Paul is in prison, and he starts out writing them, first of all, encouraging them. Not concerned about himself. How can I encourage them to keep praying? So keep praying, guys. And you know what? I do have a request. If you're going to pray, pray for me. Don't pray that I'm set free from prison. That's not what I'm asking. Rather, pray that a door would be open to share the saving message of Jesus Christ with the people that are around me. I'm not concerned about if I get out of here. I'm concerned about if people come to know Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of being in prison, Paul has the Word of God in him. He's abiding in Christ, and so he prays that fruit would be made for the kingdom of God, that he would be successful in sharing the gospel even while he's in prison. So does this mean that we will always receive what we pray for? I probably wouldn't be very nice if I let you out of here believing that just whatever comes out of your mouth is going to happen for sure. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. This is Paul as well. He says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." So Paul says, I've had this amazing revelation, and it was so great that there's a good chance I would become conceited, that I would think that I was a pretty special person. And so Paul explains that because of this, a thorn was given in his flesh to keep him from becoming conceited. So something bad happened to Paul to keep him humble. Paul says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Three times. He didn't ask once, he didn't ask twice, he asked three times. We're told to be persistent in prayer, to keep asking. But he said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So the answer is, God, please remove this thorn from my flesh. God says, no, I'm not going to remove it. But I'm going to give you the grace that you need to endure it. First of all, my grace is sufficient, and not only that, but when you suffer through this well, my power is displayed. Because people look at your life and they see that you're going through this, but you're going through it with joy, and you're going through it sharing the gospel, and that points to God. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, I asked, I was told no. You know what? There's good reason, though, because I know I probably would have become conceited. And so, God, show your work in me, even in the midst of this. And so sometimes we think we're praying according to the will of God, but we don't quite understand the full picture. And so sometimes God says, I understand your heart, but I have something better for you. You may not see it now, but it's better, and you can trust me. So how do we have Christ's words abide with us in prayer? One way we can do this is actually to pray through the Bible. And so we can use the Bible to guide our prayers, and that will help us, because if God says it, then that's probably a good thing to pray back to God. And so the Psalms are probably the easiest place to do this, and the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, are probably the second easiest place. And so how do you do this? So I want to give you something practical to take away today that you can implement in your life. If you've been frustrated, if you feel like you're repetitive and you want to pray, but you want to pray better, here's a practical way to do that. So you pick a passage of Scripture, probably the Psalms. I'm going to give you a sheet that has Psalms for each day that you can use, where you pick one of several Psalms, I think one of five Psalms. And what you do is you just read through it. And so this is separate. You have your daily reading and studying the Scripture and meditating on the Scripture. This is just praying through the Scripture. And so you're not spending a lot of time really diving in and trying to understand, but what you're doing is you're just looking at this as a guide. And so you read a verse, and you just pray what comes to mind. How does this passage, what does this say that leads me in prayer? And so sometimes you're going to read a verse and you're going to have a whole lot to pray about that verse. There's going to be a lot there that, wow, this really pertains to what's going on. Sometimes you're going to read a verse and you're going to go, I just don't really know what to pray there. And then you go, okay, I'm going on to the next verse. And so you go to the next verse. You get to that verse and you might read it and say, you know what? I have no idea what that means. That's okay. You skip that one too, because we're not here to study in this instance. We're here to pray. Then you get to another verse, and it reminds you of something completely different that's not intended by the verse. And so we know that Scripture has a meaning, right? We don't want to bring our own meaning. And so you know the meaning is this, but this comes to mind, and that's not what the meaning is. Well, if it comes to mind, even if it's not the meaning, you pray it. So I'll give you an example of that. Psalms 130, verse 3 says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? So what that means, it means this, you can't change the meaning, it means that if God looked at all of our sinfulness and made a tally list, let's say, you know, and all of our sins were up there, right? It says then, I lost it, who could stand, right? Who's going to be able to stand before you, God, with all of those sins lined up, you know? Mark my iniquities. But let's say you're reading through the psalm and you're trying to pray and you see that and all of a sudden you go, oh, Mark, I said that I was going to pray for Mark. And you go, well, wait, this isn't about Mark. I can't pray for Mark. No. If it says mark my iniquities and Mark pops up in your head, your friend that you were supposed to pray for Mark. Maybe God's using that to remind you to pray for Mark because you'd forgotten about Mark, even though you told Mark, I'll pray for you, Mark. We'll be praying for you. And you completely forgot about that poor guy. Well, here you go. Pray for Mark. And so pray for Mark. So how does this actually look? What does this look like? So let's read a portion of Psalm 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. That means, God, you are master of my life. That means that you're in charge of all things completely. That means that, God, I need to surrender my life to you on a daily basis. That means that that sin that I fell into, that you're Lord of that, that you are the king of my life. God, help me to submit to your lordship. Help me to recognize that as Lord, that you are a perfect king, that you're a loving king, that you're an all-powerful king, and that you're going to protect me and love me in every way possible. Thank you for being the Lord of my life. I don't deserve to have you as the Lord of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. Wow. God, thank you that you're my shepherd. Thank you that you lead me, because I'm having a hard time making it through this life and to knowing which is the right decision, which is the wrong direction, and what to do. And so, God, thank you for being my shepherd, that you lead me, that your word is a light to my path. And so as a shepherd, you're leading me and showing me which ways to go and which ways not to go. I thank you that shepherds protect their flock, because I know that I need your protection. God, my family needs your protection. And so please protect them as a shepherd protects the sheep. Please lead my family. There's going to be all types of decisions that we need to make. Please lead my family. And please become the shepherd of my children, that they would follow after you, that they would trust in your provision, that they would trust in your leading, that you're leading them in good places. I shall not want. Because you're the shepherd and you provide for me, God, there's nothing else that I really need. You give me everything that I need. I have salvation in you. Help me not to think that I need these things in the world that just make me happy for a moment. I don't need them. I'm satisfied completely in you. I shall not want. I don't need those things, God. Help me to be satisfied in you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. God, thank you for the times of rest. I needed that rest. And so I thank you so much that you've gave me that time, just that couple minutes, just to sit there and relax in still waters, that peaceful times of life, and the way that you provide for me, even through the water that you give to me. He restores my soul. Whew, it's been a rough week, God. I need some restoration. Can you please restore me? Help me to delight in you today. And just give me peace about all those things that are going on in my life right now, and about the things going on with my family. And I don't know what's happening with the children and just the way that they're acting, but you'll give me peace and you'll help me. I know that you will, and so I thank you. And so you just pray like that through the scriptures, and you just read it and you pray whatever comes to mind. Like I said, you just skip things that you don't know. And so what happens, it's not that we're praying for totally different things necessarily, right? We're going to continue to pray for our families. We're going to continue to pray for ourselves. We're going to continue to pray for the church and for the lost, and hopefully our categories are still going to be the same. But what it does is it helps us from praying the same exact thing for each of those categories all the time. And so now I know another way to pray for my family, as well as the same way that I've been praying for them every day, every day, every day, for however long. And so this gives you a foundation, that's the Word of God, to actually pray back to God what He's actually given to us. And so we have a variety in our prayer. And so there's a sheet in the back that I would just encourage you to take, Psalm of the Day chart. If you weren't here last week, or if you didn't pick up one, there's a Bible reading plan as well to read through the entire Bible this year chronologically. And so there's that option as well. And then there's a New Testament through the year. So if you're not quite ready to jump into the whole Bible this year, do the New Testament in a year, but just have a steady intake of God's Word, God speaking to you. And then this, like I said, is not to dive in and really study these per se, but this is just to guide you in prayer. And so there's a psalm for each day of the month. And so please pick one of those up. Listen to what Johnny Erickson Tada says. She says, I have learned to season my prayers with the Word of God. It's a way to talk to God in His language, to speak His dialect, using His vernacular, employing His idioms. This is not a matter simply of divine vocabulary. It's a matter of power. When we bring God's Word directly into our prayer, we are bringing God's power into our praying. And so I just want to leave you with this challenge that this year, will you be devoted to the Word of God? He tells us how we can have salvation. He tells us how we can live in this world. He tells us all about who He is. He speaks to us regularly through His Word. Will you make a commitment to be in the Word of God this year? And then will we be a people who pray, but who pray well? Let's pray. God, we thank You that You have given us Your Word, that You speak to us through it. What a kind and loving God that You allow us to know You and know who You are. And You call us in the midst of all of the suffering and all the trials that we face to come to You and to pray and to ask You for help. And yet so often we don't do it. We try to solve things on our own, or we try and ask other people for help, or we're just too busy to stop. And so God, I pray that we would be a praying people, a praying church, that we would love to come to You and to cry out our hearts to You. But God, help us to look at our prayers and to ask what it is, what are we praying for? And so I pray that, yes, we would pray for all things, God, but I pray that we would also make sure that we're focused on praying for things that are eternal, things that will last forever, things that will bring You honor and glory. And so God, help us to think about how the Word that You have given us can help us do that. And so help us to pray, and help us to pray well. And we ask that when we do, we would see Your mighty hand at work here in this congregation and here in this city as well. God, I pray if there's somebody here today that doesn't know You, that they don't have that personal relationship where they can just come and talk to You. God, I pray that first of all, You would show them their need, that they would look at their lives and that they would see their hearts and they would see their decisions and see the things that they've done and said and see that they need forgiveness, that they've broken Your rules and they've broken Your law, and that's why they feel guilty inside. But God, I pray that You wouldn't leave them feeling guilty, but You would help them to see that they can be completely forgiven, not because they can do enough good stuff, but because Jesus Christ died and took the penalty that they deserve. And so I pray today, before they walk out those doors, as we sing this song, that inside of them they would just ask You for forgiveness, and that they would declare to You that they want to live their lives for You, that they want You to be the Lord of their life. And we thank You for the promise that if we do that, we're forgiven of our sins. And so this is a time, I pray that if you haven't done that, that you would do that today. And that You would let somebody know so that we can celebrate with You. God, thank You for Your love and for Your Spirit that continues to work in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close in a song. This is a time for you to respond. Maybe you want to cry out to God and ask Him to rescue you from your sins. Maybe you just want to make a commitment inside your heart to be a person of prayer and a person of the Word. This is a time to do that as we close in this song.